Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. 1 Samuel 14:7. Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today is Janelle Shelton, Regional Manager for Care Portal in Ohio. She is also an armor bearer for the vulnerable in her community. Welcome to the show, Janelle.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So I'm excited to have you on the show. We're going to be talking about Care Portal, the online technology tool that connects child welfare workers with churches so that local families in crisis can be served by churches right in their communities. So Janelle, you work for the state of Ohio full time, but you are also regional manager of Care Portal. How did you get involved with Care Portal?
Well, that is kind of a long and winding story, so I'll give you the condensed version. Several years ago, my husband and I started pursuing an adoption from Haiti, and because of that, we decided to attend the Christian Alliance for Orphans conference in Chicago, and when we went there, they have all these breakout sessions you can go to, and we decided to walk around and talk to vendors during one of those because we needed some fundraising ideas. And the first table I stopped at happened to be a Global Orphan Project table, who's the parent company of Care Portal. They had Go Exchange there, which is a company that employs moms and dads in Haiti to make beautiful things that we sell in the States so that they're able to keep their children together with them at home and not have to surrender them to an orphanage out of poverty. And so they handed me some things that were made in Haiti and at once stole my heart. And so I signed up immediately to become a Go Exchange ambassador and sell the beautiful things in Ohio. And on my very first conference call as a Go Exchange ambassador, they introduced this concept of Care Portal. They shared some stories, talked about what was happening in Texas and this thing they were going to try to do. And I got off the phone that day and I called my partner in crime up here, Terry, and said, if this thing works, we have to bring it to Ohio. Well, the next year, we were going to the same conference, but it was in Nashville, and that year, they actually brought Care Portal to be at the conference, and so I knew that they were looking to go to 2 to 5 new states that year, and so I walked straight up to Adrian Lewis, and he was the one who essentially God gave the idea for Care Portal to, and he was there promoting it, and I came up to him and said, I know exactly who you are. I have been dying to meet you. My name is Janelle Shelton, and if you want to go to Ohio, I know the right people to get you there, and I'm going to bring them to you today, because they were all there. Now, the sidebar to this story that's kind of amusing is I actually am visually impaired, and so I walked up to him with my white cane, and I said to him, I'm going to bring my pastor to you, and when he comes, I've already told him all about Care Portal on the van ride down here, but when he comes, I want you to look straight at him, and I'm going to get out of the way. Because he is hearing impaired, and so he's going to have to read your lips. And so that night, Adrian went back and called his wife, and he said, so I think we're going to Ohio, and the charge is being led by a blind woman with a deaf pastor. And that's how we got started. We are the weak shaming the strong group up here.
Wow. And now, what year did you launch?
We launched in December of 2015.
Wow. And how many churches in your county participate in Care Portal presently?
Currently, I have 7 that are really, really active. And then I have a few more that we are working on bringing through the process. But I have 7 that I would say I could count on in an instant.
That is wonderful. And we're working to bring Care Portal here to New York. So, Janelle, can you give us the general idea of how Care Portal works for our listeners who haven't heard of it before?
Absolutely. So in every church, you have people who want to give. They feel called to give. They want to care for people in crisis. But every church has had an experience at some point or another where giving hasn't gone well because you've been fleeced by someone or you're just not sure. if you can believe the plea that's being brought to you. And it's really hard to know what is a good thing to give to and what isn't. And so we all pray for wisdom in that regard. Well, Care Portal bridges that need of Christians to give, that desire, with needs of people who are in crisis in your own community via child welfare social workers. So people who have come into contact with the child welfare system in one way or another are basically vetted by social workers. When there is no government option for the particular need of this family in crisis, a social worker signs onto the Care Portal website and they type in the story and they send a request that goes out by email to participating churches explaining the need, detailing what they are asking for. And then churches have an opportunity to respond, to bring goods and services to families, and also to connect with them and give them an additional community / church support to help them stabilize in their time of crisis. So sometimes we help keep kids out of the system by connecting them with kinship places, by giving them beds or dressers. Sometimes we help reunify kids with families who have worked their plan and done a great job of correcting issues that they've had in their lives. Sometimes we're able to help kids, just promote kids' well-being by providing things like a field trip that they can't otherwise afford to go on because they're in foster care. There's a whole array of things that we do in and around the system to help families in crisis and to support people who are caring for kids in crisis.
So they're real, vetted, legitimate needs because they're brought by a social worker, a caseworker from a county agency who already knows the family, knows the situation, and the request really comes from them. And the church has the option of responding to the email and meeting the request. And they can trust that it's a legitimate request. So, like I said earlier, Justice for Orphans is launching Care Portal here in upstate New York this fall. And we love to hear Care Portal stories of impact because it really demonstrates that how this works and inspires churches and folks to get on board to participate. So, Janelle, tell us about the 16-year-old boy who needed dentures.
Yeah, so this was a request that we received 2 weeks before school started back up. And what had happened was we had a young man who had suffered severe neglect as a child, and as a result, his teeth were a mess. And the dentist made the decision to pull all of his teeth, and he was going to need dentures. Well, they made the top dentures, and they took impressions for the bottom. But for whatever reason, his insurance, whatever he had, would not cover the bottom ones. They considered that to be cosmetic. And so here you have a 16-year-old, 2 weeks from school starting, who only has half of his teeth. And he did what any kid would do and said, I am not going back to school. I'm done. Now, it was only $350. To buy that kid a bottom set of dentures. The dentist would not make them until he had a cash payment up front. And $350 doesn't seem like a lot when you put it in the light of a lot of churches, but for a family under the poverty line, that was insurmountable. And so the request came to us for money for dentures. And so I sent out an email. I was actually on vacation at the time, and I rallied the troops, and it took no time at all to get $350, and we paid the dentist, and he got his teeth, and he has now graduated high school and is doing very well.
Oh, incredible. I love that. And then, like you said, Care Portal really helps in a lot of different situations. Sometimes it's preventative, sometimes it's reunification, and often relatives will take a child in to keep them out of foster care, but sometimes they need help. So Janelle, tell us about the grandma who adopted her 6-year-old son, a grandson, but she got sick.
Yeah, so this was really the first request that we had that required all of our churches to work together as a community. I don't have any mega churches in my county that I work with. We are all rural churches. And, you know, sometimes I hear from pastors, I don't know how much we'll be able to do, but I just want you to know that God is not surprised and God is not under-resourced. And so we have found that in the power of community, we can get to participate in miracles over and over again. And this was one of those stories. So in this instance, Grandma had lived in a particular apartment for 10 years, and she was doing just fine. She was on a disability income. She had adopted her grandson. He was 6, and she got sick. She had like a tumor on her neck, and so she had to have surgery. And unfortunately, she got an infection, and then that got worse, and she ended up being in the hospital for quite a long time. And she had to pay for child care expenses she wouldn't normally have to pay for. And that drained her savings very quickly, and she got behind on her rent. Well, she was, at that point, she had never done anything wrong, but she was getting desperate, and she was looking into homeless shelters because she knew she was going to have to be evicted because she could not make that rent payment. And she was telling her 6-year-old child, "You're going to have to go into foster care. I'm not taking you to a homeless shelter. You're going to go into foster care, and I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to get everything together, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you. But you're going to have to go into the system for a while." And so she contacted Children's Services, and they actually were willing, our county was willing to pay the rent, but the landlord absolutely refused to accept their check because it would take a while for it to come in. And so they sent us a request, and we had 72 hours to come up with a little over $1,100 so that this lady could stay in her home. And so I went to church that night, and we had choir practice, and this was just really on my heart. And I said to my people, "I don't need a person to write me a $1,000 check. What I need is 50 people to give me $20 on your way out the door." And so people started handing me $20 on their way out the door, and I came home with a fistful of cash, but not near enough at that point. And so I put out an email to my other point people who run Care Portal in their churches and just threw out the same challenge. "I need $50 or I need $20. And, you know, a lot of people to give me small amounts. And so the pledges started coming in fast and furious. And within just a day and a half, I had all the money I needed. And so I got to tell the caseworker who had made the request, "You tell Grandma not to pack a single box. The church got this." And then I sent a friend of mine to go pay the bill in the office in person, and I told him to walk in knowing he was a superhero that day to a little boy. And what was really surprising after that request was that caseworker actually wrote a letter to her supervisor, which we have framed, that said, "This really restored my hope in people." Because as a caseworker, we see nothing but the worst all the time. And you start to think that there is no good out there and everything is just darkness in your community. But this shows that there are good people and people who want to help. And it was just an amazing moment to realize that we were impacting not just Grandma, not just her little guy, but we were also affecting the social worker who made that request and sending ripples of hope through our community in ways we hadn't anticipated.
Oh, I love that. Ripples of hope throughout the community, all through the body of Christ using Care Portal. So Janelle, as in many communities across the country, the opioid epidemic has impacted the foster care system. Share with us the story of the 2 teen brothers who were impacted by this and how Care Portal played a huge role in helping them.
Sure. In Ohio, the number of kids coming into care tripled in 1 year because of the opioid epidemic. And we see a lot of heroin overdoses here on a very frequent basis. And so kids are coming into care from all over the place. But there, in this particular story, there was a pair of brothers who were already involved in the system. They were in 2 different places, and their father actually overdosed and died. Now, the state could pay to have him cremated, but that was all they could do. And so first the caseworkers went to them and said, "Do you want to have a funeral for your dad?" Because they had no mother. They were completely on their own. And they thought about that, but a funeral wasn't really something they were familiar with. They didn't really have people to invite to a funeral, because we knew we had plenty of pastors who would have been happy to preach it, but That's not what they wanted, but they did both want a piece of their dad. But there are no government funds for urns for cremated ashes. And so the request came to us, first of all, to buy an urn for each of the boys, which we were more than happy to do. And then ultimately the boys decided that what they would like to do in memory of their dad was to go do some things they would have done with him. And so their community support wasn't family, wasn't pastor, wasn't spiritual advisor or even teacher. They went with their caseworker and their therapist, and they wanted to go eat chicken wings and shoot pool, because that's what they would have done with their dad. And so the request was then for money for the urn and for $80 to spend on chicken wings. Well, I looked at that and said, I have a teenage boy, and $80 for chicken wings isn't going to be enough given this circumstance. Like, first of all, they need dessert. It's just mandatory. And so I kind of challenged our people to do better than that. And so we sent them more than 10 times what was requested. But more importantly, our churches wrote sympathy cards, and they handwrote messages to those boys, and they signed their names to it. We'll never meet them. We don't know them, but we were praying for them, and we continue to care and love those kids that we don't know and pray for them. And we just wanted them to have a tangible reminder that you are not forgotten, and the church is here to support you if you want to come in.
I love that, because prayer, it's not just meeting those tangible needs, but it's prayer as well. And you actually have a prayer team in Fairfield County there in Ohio that prays for every request.
I do. Every request at the bottom says, if you are unable to meet this request, please pray for this family, for these caseworkers. But we took that a step further, because it's really easy to read past that. And every church has somewhere within it your Tuesday morning Bible study prayer group, or maybe it's a men's group, or maybe it's an accountability group of just three people somewhere. But there are a lot of people in those groups who may not be able to write a check, especially some of our older folks, may not have a lot of income, may not have a lot of things to donate, but they can wrestle in prayer for us. And so for every request that we receive, I forward it to a lady who is the head of our prayer team, and she takes a day or two, and she writes a beautiful prayer, and she forwards it back to us, to me, and I send it to all of my point people who can disseminate it to whoever their prayer teams are in their own churches. So every single request, every kid is prayed for by a lot of people very intentionally. And God has honored and blessed that as we have met every request that has come our way. And I can't take credit for that in a way that has anything to do with me. It has everything to do with God. He has blessed and honored and provided over and over and over, because he loves to care for his children when we ask.
I love that. And I love these stories that you're sharing. They're really testimonies of what God has done through the church using Care Portal. So Janelle, share with us the story of a mom named Heather.
So this was an interesting one that we had a little over a year ago. She was, at the time that we became involved with her, living in a hotel with her boyfriend, and they were expecting a baby. And they had another one who had been in care. She had had some issues, but she had cleaned herself up. And they were working toward being able to reunite the older one with her as well. And so, first of all, they asked us for money to help pay this crazy expensive hotel bill that they had. But they asked if we could provide some things for the baby that was coming, and if we had any leads on other housing. And so, you know, we took care of the rent. We took care of, you know, we contacted our churches to see if anyone had any housing options. By the time we actually got together to meet her, she was living with an aunt, and our point person went to her, and we had had six of our churches had pulled together to do a virtual baby shower for her for this new little one that was coming. And so, you know, we had everything in gift bags and had it real nice, and when my point person went there, she actually even took her son with her, who was carrying a baby shower cake for this family. And at that point, Heather told her, I don't know if the caseworker even told you, but my parents died in a car accident, and I have no supports at all. And this is the first time I have felt any hope. I wasn't even looking forward to this baby. And she was just so overwhelmed and touched that people she didn't know would give to her and would care for her. Well, the other piece to that story that's so interesting is the point person who made that delivery attended a church with a community outreach center two blocks from where this lady was living. And this lady didn't know who they were, and they didn't know who she was. But through Care Portal, they were connected, and now she has an ongoing resource and sometimes attends that church that she knows is right there in her community and that really, really cares about her.
I love that because, again, Care Portal is, you know, the churches have the opportunity to meet physical needs, but also discipleship opportunities open up, similar in the situation with this mom, Heather. So Janelle, tell us about the mom who meets regularly to pray with a point person from the church who helped her.
Yep, and that's actually the same point person. She is absolutely amazing. We had a mom who had escaped a domestic violence situation, and she had four kids. I think she had some who were grown and out of the house already, but she had four with her, and she needed furniture and lots of stuff. And so the churches came together with all the stuff, and then my point person took it all over to her and made the delivery and prayed with her and connected with her. And then it became an ongoing thing where she would text back and forth or call back and forth. And then the mom started wanting to meet with her to actually pray over things and would ask her, would you just come and pray with me? And they would go have coffee somewhere and they would talk through what was happening, and my point person would pray with her and pray over her. And so she became so much more than an Amazon-style delivery person and became a legitimate spiritual mentor and support to this mama and her family.
That is incredible. That's what it's all about. But I also love something else that you have going on there in your county. You have a furniture team that delivers furniture as needed, beds and dressers and things that families may need, but they also deliver dinner. Tell us real quick about that.
Yeah, so this one is not my brainchild, but what we have done is incorporated a lot of pre-existing ministries that our churches had into Care Portal. So if we have a church that already has a food pantry, we know to go to them first if food is needed for some reason. And so in this case, we had a furniture team at my church, and someone had created in my church a crock pot ministry, because when you move into an apartment that first day, your kitchen isn't together, and most of us just call and order a pizza. But when you're working with people in poverty, they can't afford to do that. And so we bring a crock pot with dinner all ready to go, and we bring them plasticware and plates and all that kind of stuff and a few extra little fun things, so that we just plug it in and set it on the counter while we're working, and then we leave the crock pot for them. We didn't realize how meaningful that was until caseworkers started donating to us crock pots. And we started hearing stories about dads who had broken down in tears over people caring enough to make them dinner. And it turns out that it's really easy to show the love of Jesus through a good home-cooked meal. So we like to do that.
Yeah, I love that story. There is great need out there in our communities. But Janelle, you've said that earlier, you said that God is not under-resourced. Share with us as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear today?
So there is a story in 1 Samuel chapter 14 where the Philistines have lined up against the Israelites, and the Israelites are way outnumbered. In fact, they're hiding in caves and cisterns and holes in the ground. King Saul is sitting under a pomegranate tree with the priest of God, and they're all just hiding. And Jonathan one morning says to his young armor bearer, "Let's go over and attack the Philistines. Nothing can keep the Lord from acting on our behalf, whether by many or by few." And the armor bearer says to him, "Do whatever you have in mind. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul." And so the two of them, in order to go attack the Philistines, actually have to climb up a cliff face. They're very exposed, and they are crawling up this with their hands and feet, and the armor bearer is right behind Jonathan. And Jonathan goes, and he shows himself to the Philistines, who say, come up here, and we're going to teach you a lesson, which was the sign to them that they knew God was with them. And so they just go out on this very courageous faith mission. And as Jonathan is fighting Philistines, the scripture says the armor bearer went right behind him. And the two of them started by stepping out in faith, what turned into a huge victory because God was with them. And so I picture myself as an armor bearer who helps to care for families who are caring for kids in crisis, or care for foster parents and adoptive parents, and help equip and protect them by talking about things like trauma, by equipping with resources, by being an emotional support person, because not all of us are called directly to foster or to adopt. Not everybody can do that. But the scripture tells us over and over and over that we are to care for orphans and to care for widows, and it doesn't give anyone an excuse not to. And so there are lots and lots and lots of ways you can do that. That could be providing a meal to a family who just got a foster placement in the middle of the night. That could be driving kids to and from sports activities, rocking a baby who's going through withdrawals. It could be wrestling in prayer for families on this journey. And so it is my distinct honor and privilege, and it's so humbling for me to get to be an armor bearer for people that God has called to step out in faith and to do direct things to impact people for the kingdom. And I get to do it through Care Portal.
Well, thank you, Janelle, for all you are doing on behalf of children and families in crisis there in Ohio. And thank you for sharing your stories with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. If you would like to learn more about Care Portal launching here in New York, maybe you'd like to get your church involved in serving local children and families in crisis, contact me through our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.